From the streets of Melrose Park to the trading floor of the Merc, he's fought for every dollar he's ever earned. And now, with personal liberty and our system of capitalism under assault in America, he's here to seize back our rights from the government. With a cigar in one hand and a copy of the Declaration of Independence in the other, he's Sean Thompson. And this is the Sean Thompson Show. This looks like a job for me,
so everybody just follow me. Squirrel, as I'm about to interview one of my favorite people. Do you know what today is, Squirrel? It's the anniversary of the 1987 stock market crash. Did you know that? Bet you didn't know that. I know somebody who does know it. It's my next guest. After all, I think he called that one, too. He called 2000. He called 08. He called every scam, every backdoor nationalization of banking. His name is Gerald Celente. He is a warrior for Americanism and a warrior for peace. Gerald, thank you for joining me. How are you?
I'm all right. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, you are the person I think of all the time when it's this scam called a gangster government, called a government, that proves itself to be what it really is, a fraud and backdoor gangster organization and a mafia. And yesterday was the greatest example to me. So they massively increase the costs of debt, massively increase the costs of people paying for charge cards, in essence bankrupting untold numbers, percentages of Americans, yet it shows up as earnings for banking, and that's a good news for the market. I said, get me Gerald Celente.
Well, you could thank Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer, for that one. He's the one that let go with the usury rates.
Yeah.
And he's also the one before then. I was living in Chicago then. I'll never forget it. It was in the 70s. There was no such thing as interstate banking back then. There was only intrastate banking. You know, Bank of America was out in California.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it had all local banks. And he was one of the biggest sellouts, and with playing the arrogant little boy card all the time. And he also, this is a guy that deregulated the airline industry. There were like 150 airlines back in before that happened. I remember the arrogant guy that did it, Alfred Kahn. Yeah, they spelled his name wrong. It should have been C-O-N, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And again, flying used to be, you know, they used to have to compete on service. And now, of course, the couple of, four companies own everything, you know. So the whole thing is, it's a crime syndicate that people call a government. You call it, you know, a mafia. It's a crime syndicate. They're murderers and thieves. They steal our money to give it to too big to fail banksters. And they lie us into wars. You know, they're murderers and thieves.
You know, Gerald, it's interesting, though. I was listening to so many reports as we had an 800 point so-called market rally. What it really is a fascistic funding of corruption. That's the only way you can explain it. And there is not a station, a television show that explains these are not bank profits. This is forced manipulation of the velocity of money. It would not exist if the government had not steered the people into enriching these corrupt cartel, banking cartel. That's all it is.
Well, exactly. Look at the J.P. Morgan Chase gang. Five felonies, convicted. You don't see Jamie Dimon going to jail. Hey, but where were you? How many drinks did you have? Stand on your head and repeat the alphabet backwards.
You might see him go to jail, though, as he tends to slip and tell the truth from time to time. You might see, and you know, that's the other thing that's become normalized. The fact that the government not only picks winners and losers, that's a talking point for stooges. What it's doing is prosecuting its enemies. It's persecuting people who even think about questioning the government and questioning the spending. I mean, this is some real third world banana republic stuff that we're seeing on a daily basis.
I mean, look what they did to Julian Assange. I mean, what did he do? He came out and showed, you know, what murder was going on in Iraq. I mean, that'll put you in jail, you know.
It's
a crime syndicate. Again, it's prosecution to the fullest for we the little people of Slavelandia and a slap on the wrist for their crimes. Look at what the Wall Street Journal's been reporting over the last couple of weeks of all of the inside trading going on with all these phony little bureaucrats that work for all these government organizations that know the deal that's going to come out and play in the market, one after another. Same thing in Congress.
So one of the things I thought about you this week was when the spokesman for the royal inbred family, the Saudis, bragged about the policies and the collaboration between America and Saudi Arabia. I want you to listen to this for a minute.
I don't believe this relationship is broken. Very far from it. This relationship is very robust. We have almost 80,000 Americans living and working in Saudi Arabia. We have a very strong trade and investment relationship. We work very closely with regards to ensuring our common interests, whether it's to bring peace to Yemen, whether it's to bring peace between Israelis and Arabs, whether it's to stabilize Afghanistan, whether it's to reintegrate Iraq into the Arab fold, whether it's to bring stability to the Horn of Africa, stability and peace in Libya, in the G5 countries of the Sahel, whether it's to fight extremism and terrorism. Those interests are permanent and those interests are tremendously.
And what he's answering is a question of, are you nervous about the relationship between Saudi Arabia? And he goes off and lists every country, and he leaves off Syria, where our boys are sent at direction of our government to fight for the policies that the Saudi Arabians want to enforce. And what he tells the American people without them being aware of it is he's in control of our policies. He's in control of our military agenda, that he is the real boss and that we have an illusion of a representative republic. I thought it was the most enlightening comment that came, other than the one from the Saudi prince, where he said this yesterday.
ردنا على الغرب نفس الكلام هذا نعيده بالإنجليزية. Anybody that challenges the existence of this country and this kingdom, all of us, we are projects of jihad
and martyrdom.
I mean, Gerald, this is evidence to prosecute some of the oligarchs in our own government, because this is an admission, this is an example of how corrupt our policies are and who really is controlling them. And I want to know what you think about it.
Well, it takes Saudi Arabia. I mean, they invented the place, what, in 1934?
Yep.
You know, the gang took over. And then what is the first thing they did? They tried to attack the Houthis in Yemen. And then what happened? Well, thanks to the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner Barack Obama, and that arrogant boy playing our Secretary of State, a little daddy's boy born on third base and thought he hit a home run. I went to Harvard, Blinken. He went over there when the Saudis announced they were going to invade Yemen from Washington, D.C. in March of 2015. And the United States went over there to provide them with, quote, intelligence, and that little Blinken boy went there. And again, nobody talks about this. Is the worst humanitarian crisis on earth in Yemen, brought to you by the Saudis, the Obama, the Trump, and the Bush administrations, and according to the United Nations. And again, if we weren't protecting the Saudis, that government would have been overthrown a long time ago. What are our bases doing over there to begin with?
Well, it's funny because it just seems to be something that we created, our own government created it, when they used the Sherman Antitrust Act to break up and disincentivize American oil company and incentivize them to invest in foreign lands. And that's exactly what they did. And before, you said 1935, but you could really go back to the 20s, right? Before they used the Anti-Sherman Act, which sent all of our oil companies, Rockefeller and the rest of it, over there to show them how to make money, there was peace throughout the world. And what we did was enrich, arguably, the most terroristic-minded group of people in the Middle East. And they are the ones who are in control of our policy. And there have been the deaths of untold millions. And it just continues to go on as we're now sending people to the Horn of Africa from every state in the country. And nobody
yep.
wants to talk about it.
No. And again, you know, this is... If anybody's interested, they should read the farewell address by someone that was the president of the United States, a real man that fought, by the name of George Washington. He tells the American people not to get involved in any foreign entanglements, that our interest is in America. And what does he say? Especially in Europe. These conflicts have been going on for centuries between these people, among those people, and for us not to get involved in it. And here we are in Ukraine. I mean, what has this been going on between Russia and Ukraine since, I think, about 1750?
Yeah, but the Ukrainians they weren't smart enough until very recently to bribe the American government to weaponize them and fight the war for them. Now that they have successfully bought and sold an asset His name is Joe Biden, and our policy is enriching people that we used to call Nazis. This is an outrage to me, and so many Americans are ignorant to it because they're beaten down with being used to the corruption. It started in New York, it went to New Jersey, and Illinois perfected it. But this really has now spread throughout the American society as we know it, and they're too beaten down to even question the kind of corruption that we just think is normal policy now.
Oh, hey, how about those Yankees, huh? I mean, that's what you know, that's the mentality. People don't have a clue what's going on. All they hear are the sound bites, and they buy it. And again, you know, this Ukraine, you know, a fiasco would have been over a long time ago if they didn't steal. It's almost $70 billion of we, the plantation workers of Slavelandia's money that's gone to Ukraine so far this year.
And you have yet to have a weekend where there are more people killed in Ukraine than there is in the city of Chicago. So this is the funniest part of it all. How you can use propaganda to steer and control the American people. It's shocking to me. If we added up just the destruction in our own Democrat-run big cities, the death, the mayhem, on a weekend and compared it to Ukraine, I wonder if we'd be waving flags.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. Again, you know, when they locked down the country to fight the COVID war, the damage that they've done is incalculable, and it's global, by the way. In Italy, they're going to be losing over 100,000 small and medium-sized businesses. It's one country after another.
It's like Illinois.
Yep. Yeah. You know, I mean, look at the clown show. It's a clown show. I mean, look at the people that are running and ruining our lives. And again, they get away with it.
Is there hope for information to get out? I see now that we're squashing the information of the investigation by the European allied countries who investigated the blow-up of Nord Stream 1 and 2, or 1. And we now know it wasn't Vladimir Putin. It looks to be like the big old Uncle Sam. I wonder, you think maybe some information can wake some people up, or is it
No, it's not going to wake them up. You know, the people don't care, and they've been brainwashed into it. But it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men, said Samuel Adams. And that's what we need. And how dumb can you be to say I voted for a lesser of two evils?
Oh, I hate it.
That's like saying I almost got her pregnant.
Yeah. Well, it all depends who you're talking about. I mean, after all, some of those women turn out to be vice president. I want to say too, doesn't it seem to be almost an intentional loss by the Republican establishment? As they have all of this information to run on, all of this information to start a movement and change things, yet I think they like to be in this second position because they're not running on any of the real failures, any of the real corruption. They're running kind of a lackluster attempt to, isn't he terrible? Isn't he old? They're not really going after the policies of corruption. And it comes to point out some comments by Republicans who really kind of don't mind the pay-to-play scheme that we see Joe Biden partake in when it comes to such topics as our foreign policy or such policies as our manipulation of the energy sector, the most important sector of any economy. I think we're at the breaking point of there's just too many Republicans in on it.
Again, you know, they're dumb. I mean, who do you look up to? Mitch McConnell? Lindsey Graham?
I always was
attracted
to those strong
jawlines. I mean, how low can you go? Oh, no, I'm a Democrat. I like Chuck E. Schumer. Yeah. Oh, no, give me Nancy Pelosi. It's a freak show in front of everybody's eyes. Look at the cover of this week's Trends Journal. It could not be better. One flew over the cuckoo's nest, and we have Washington, we have the White House, and it's the Nut House.
You pick who was going to play Nurse Ratched? I mean, you had the Duchess of Chaffington, Hillary Clinton. You had Kamala Harris. How could you pick who was going to play Ratched?
I know. It's a freak show in front of everybody's eyes. What people don't understand is that these are mentally ill people. They're mentally sick. They're psychopaths, sociopaths, pathological liars. And they're running and ruining our lives. Look at the freedom that they've taken away from us.
It's normal.
You know, again, you love Alex Jones, hate Alex Jones, not an issue. I mean, what did he do? He said something that was false, and he believed it. There was a thing called the First Amendment one time.
Yeah.
But he lied. That was the headline of the New York Times. They call themselves the paper of record. I call it the toilet paper of record. And about how he lied. Hey, how about George Bush lying us into the Iraq War? How about that? How
did
about,
you see Leahy came out and gave the whole story about how he was given information and he was one of the only Republicans that voted against the war. And when asked about it, he just said he was afraid of his own government. Now, here's a senator who says he's afraid of the government. And that's when you realize it is truly La Cosa Nostra. It certainly isn't a couple of guys talking about Monday Night Football or what the money on the VIG should be for loans. It is the American government. That's the only way you can categorize it. But where your specialty lies is calling collapses. I mean, I don't know. You've been right at least the last three major collapses, if not more. And I'm curious, do you see one in the future?
The worst socioeconomic and geopolitical crisis in modern times. It's right in front of us. And all they do is they keep building up the debt bubble to artificially keep propping it up. Before we were talking about the Ukraine war. Look what happened. Let's go back to last week. You saw the inflation numbers came out, quote, higher than expected, 8.2%. The core went, 40-year high?
Yeah.
And what happens to the markets? The markets skyrocket up. I mean, what am I, 6 years old? Oh, it's a plunge protection team? Isn't that a nice name?
Yeah.
And then they go up this week. Oh, Lockheed Martin. Oh, their stock went way up for 5%. Oh, Lockheed Martin, you mean the defense contractor that we spent giving all that money to? I can't figure it out.
If it only went up 5%, there's some real grabbing going on.
And then yesterday the news was, Netflix did better than expected and the markets. What about all the rest of the world?
Yeah.
What do I care about Netflix? For?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this thing should have collapsed a long time ago. It's a fraud. It's a fix. Again, a thing called the Punch Protection Team. It's rigged right in front of your eyes, but we'll give it a proper name.
Gerald, I love having you on. Next time you have an event, will you promise to give me a heads up? I want to send some people there. Do you mind?
Oh, I'd love to, yeah. And we mentioned about the Iraq War. Phil Giraldi was one of our speakers. He was a top CIA guy.
I know.
That Bush threw out of his office when Giraldi showed him the proof that there was no weapons of mass destruction.
I'm going to get him on my show. I'm going to drop your name to do it. Do you mind?
Oh, yeah. I'll give you his email.
All right. You know, I love having you on. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for trying to save my country. Thank you for honoring the principles of Americanism. Gerald Celente, Trends Journal, thank you for everything.
And thank you for all that you do.